Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another moment with Mavie. Today is April 22nd, and it is about 10 o'clock this morning as I am recording this one. And today I have a guest. Guest is a friend of mine, Kate. Actually, my roomie. But I'm going to start off by introducing her. I felt like the topic for today is right up her alley. And it's her wheelhouse, like her, you know, her sweet spot and everything. So we'll get into that soon. But to start off, I'm going to introduce her. This is Caitlin. And she is a, you know, a rising, what do you want to call it?
I like to call myself a performer because I don't like to necessarily say I'm an actress or a model or anything like that because I was put on this earth to entertain people, so I'm a performer.
Okay.
I'm a rising performer.
I can understand that. Makes sense. I like that. I like that definition of that instead of just saying that you're in the industry.
You put yourself in a box.
Yeah.
I don't like being in a box.
There's a connotation associated with it.
Yes, there is.
It's so interesting you say that too because that's kind of what Zendaya was saying yesterday.
Oh, I fucking love Zendaya.
On a TikTok video I watched of hers. She did an interview with Issa Rae, and Issa was asking her why she stepped away from music after that song she did with Chris Brown, like, five, 6 years ago. And she was saying that with the music, you know, you can be private, but only to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But with acting, I get to be a different character for
every
all these different projects
time.
I take on.
Yep.
And then I go back to my bubble in my world, like, nobody really knows anything about me now, about, like, with her getting older and things. She was like, but that's kind of why I stepped away from music. And,
yeah,
you know, it was just bad contracts at some point. And a lot of musical artists, they put their experiences and their feelings and emotions into their music. So they're telling these stories and sharing their experiences, which you can't be private with that. I mean, you could be, I guess, but I feel like to be, you know, because even Beyonce, like, she lives a very private, under the radar type life. She also let us know about Becky with the good hair.
Yeah, she did.
So, you know, she gave us a full pitcher of lemonade to sip on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it's interesting you said about a performer because, like you said, it puts you in a box.
Yeah.
You know, puts you in a corner. So, all right. So, moving forward, I'm going to introduce Kate just so you guys can know a little bit about her before we get started so that, as you know, that we're having this conversation and discussion, this moment together, that the girl knows what she knows. So, but Kate is graduated from Valdosta State with a major in vocal music performance and a minor in theater arts.
Yes, ma'am.
That's where you got her undergrad from. And I know I asked you before we got started, but I want you to share, like, some accomplishment and accolades that you have under your belt.
Okay. Well, I've been in, let's see, 3 films total. Killerman with Liam Hemsworth, Dr. Sleep, which was one of my favorites. That's Ewan McGregor. Love him too. And then a recent one is The Killer, which has not come out yet on Netflix. But that one's going to be a psycho thriller, which is going to be super fun. And that one was with Michael Fassbender. I was in the recent TV show on AMC, Interview with Vampire. That was shot in New Orleans when I lived there. That was by far my favorite performance, like, project ever, just due to, like, the attention to detail, and
what character did you play, or, like, what was your role?
So I was one of the working girls, so your girl was definitely a prostitute, and I did it well. Okay, let me just tell you,
yeah. Why have you never told me about that?
But it's not something you're into because it has to do with, like, vampires and, you know,
I don't care.
Eternal stuff.
I'm going to support you in action. Like,
I got you. I got plenty of clips. I had to send it to all my freaking family. It was ridiculous. They were like, I want to see. I was like, Mom, some of these I got, like, next to fucking nothing on. She was like, I don't care. We want to show everybody. Like, everybody in their neighborhood knows now what I look like with next to nothing on.
Wow.
It is what it is.
That you're in the gym, though.
Facts.
Good thing that you take care of yourself, because
true facts.
Not to body shame or anything. When you feel better, when you look better, you feel better. Also, if you guys hear a little, you know,
weird noises,
snorting or whatever, Sherlock is, you know, our support the support audience.
Yeah, he's definitely support audience. He's not even he's a dog. He's a miniature schnauzer, but he doesn't act like a miniature schnauzer. He doesn't act like a dog. So he's really more like he's emotional a support human.
He is a true gentleman. He should, you know, teach classes to the real men in the world. But but okay. And Calls with Karrueche Tran.
Yes, yeah. I was only in two episodes of that. It was more so, you know, me just being a, you know, disgruntled customer. Had to go in there.
Be a Karen.
Know, yeah, basically get my nails done with a group of girls, what have you, and it not go well. But other than that, I mean, we're slowly moving. I like it, though. I've been able to, you know, talk to the pretty influential people. Mm-hmm. In the industry, if that's what you want to call it, especially in the entertainment industry, and, you know, kind of get their take. They've given me a lot of advice. I also teach acting and modeling classes with John Casablanca, and that I've been there for going on 2 years with being in that space. I've got to meet a lot of actors, actresses, you know, casting directors, writers, models, just a lot of really big names in the industry, and kind of talk to them as well and get their take on, you know, okay, so how was it for you when you started? Because, and I'm sure you'll get into this too, but like the entertainment industry that we see now it's forever changing. It's going to forever mm-hmm. evolve. And, you know, post COVID, we've had to change a lot. A lot of stuff has changed. So, you know, it's weird me coming in, you know, I was just getting started when COVID happened, and then that was all put to halt. So, you know, I'm really, really getting into it now. Yeah. And it's weird talking to people, you know, that have already been in the industry for like freaking ever, and they're just telling us stuff, and I'm like, wait, what? That's a thing? Yeah. Like, you used to have to do that? Oh, no, we don't do that now. So it's crazy, but I love every minute of it. It's very nice.
I love it for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so our topic of discussion today is going to be centered around women in television.
Yes.
Specifically, the strong women in television. And the idea came about because I was catching up on Grey's Anatomy from, like, the middle of last season. I'm all caught up now. Well, actually, I just missed this week's episode, so I need to watch that one. But before this week, I was caught up. But I was watching it the middle of last week when I was out of work. And I got caught up, and I was thinking, like, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. is so freaking strong. Like, I don't know if y'all are Grey's Anatomy fans, or if you've watched any of the episodes or shows, like, even if you've seen, like, her viral clips, like, on social media, TikTok, Instagram, or whatever. But she obviously went through the medical school journey. Her and McDreamy got married, whatever. He got killed off, and she was raising all the kids by herself. And it was really hard for her to even put her guards down to be with McDreamy. And then they started to have children. She is raising them by herself. She's like the head of, she was the head of the residency program. And then she was like the head of the entire hospital. And now she's made the choice to completely move and relocate and just start over her and her kids' life as a single woman doing all this by herself. And just what, like, you kind of would have to watch the show to kind of like know her personality. But her name is Meredith in the show, but she's a total badass. Like, I love her so much, and every time I watch the show when she's on, which she won't be now because they moved her off, not cut her off, but moved her off, I don't know, it gives me personally like a boost of motivation and a vote of confidence for my journey that I'm going through, like with dental school, which obviously is TV and whatnot, but I feel like even having projects and shows out like that showcase that type of experience, like what it's like to go through whatever, it's nice for, like, even if you go, I don't know, like other shows that, like HGTV, if you're a realtor, like you have so many shows that you can lean on and understand or whatever. So for me, that's why it's, you know, I think I really enjoyed Grey's, and because I have always felt like I wanted a career in general medicine, which I definitely don't, but I be thinking that still when I watch it. So, but mainly that's where the idea came about, is because I was watching Meredith specifically, and all the women on the show are great and strong, but Meredith, and I was just like, oh my goodness. And then followed by Kerry Washington. She's a powerhouse.
I'm so glad you said her name.
She's a powerhouse.
She's one of my favorites.
She really should have been first because I was watching Scandal before I ever got into Grey's.
I'm telling you. And it's funny because her, Viola Davis, all of them literally centered Shonda Rhimes.
Oh yeah. Camilla Luddington is on the Grey's Anatomy show, and so is Katrina Scorsone and like you mentioned, Viola Davis. Yes. So Shonda Rhimes is incredibly gifted.
Like, and she can pull, and it's not just powerful, you know, black female actresses. Mm-hmm. No, it's just she can pull you and be like, you know what, I have the perfect part for you. And 9 times out of 10, she is always freaking right.
She's right on the money.
Oh my gosh.
There's honestly not a show of hers that did not go 5 seasons or more.
She's literally one of the She's on my dream bucket list. Like, I have a dream bucket list of, like, directors and writers that I want to work with. Mm-hmm. And for TV, she's definitely on there. Like, she's at the very top. Only because you see so many of these powerhouse women just killing it. Why? Because they were given a character that they could really grow with and, like, make better.
Yeah.
And it was all because of her writing and her visions and, you know, her collaborations. Oh, freaking love her. I'm so glad. I knew you were going to kind of go there because you said Grey's, but, Kerry Washington, my Scandal. Mm. She had me wanting to do politics, okay? I ain't gonna lie. I was getting into all kinds of politics when Scandal came out because I was in college. So I was just like, oh, yeah, let me watch this stuff. Bruh, I didn't care about the politics. I just wanted to be, ooh.
That's so funny you say that because when I was watching Scandal, which I had no business watching it, more than likely, I guess, at that age. But I was in, like, my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. So, and I had a really incredible criminal justice teacher. No, was it? Nah. I forget what she taught. Miss Strong. Miss Shedra Strong back at Henry County. Mm-hmm. But
that name says it all, by the way. Right? I can love it.
But I really wish I remembered the classes she taught because I don't. Was it U.S. government? I think it might have been U.S. government. I think that's what it was. But she had us write a lot of papers. Really, like, study politics, what was going on currently in the world, like, the new election was coming up, like, all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I did end up finding a love for politics, but I think when you start to, like, really get into politics and read into it, you realize, like, how consuming it is for a person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I cannot, because baby, I was one of them ones that was on Facebook with people. it got to that point, and then like, just people that had different views from me, like, even at school. And you know me, and you guys know this about me now, too, even just, you know, tuning into the pod, which thank you guys for that. But I can be very passionate when I talk, and it can come off as too assertive or too aggressive.
You and me
so
both. That's why we get along so well.
That's why I was like, okay, politics I need to take a step back from. But, great Scandal, definitely. And her and Fitz.
Yes!
And because I always thought I would go to law school. So oh, really? I was like, I'll find my,
I'll find my Fitz.
Still ain't found
it. We're going to be a powerhouse freaking couple. Freaking love them. Their whole love story.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was very toxic and very toxic. So much turmoil. And I don't really like, I there's so much about them that I didn't like, but then there's so much more that I love.
Exactly. Well, I liked it mainly because, I mean, obviously, like, your girl is definitely not in politics and I'm definitely not trying to date the president of the United States. But, like, the aspects of their, like, relationship and everything, so many of us
can relate to. You don't want to be with Granddaddy
Joe? Hey. As long as I ain't got to do nothing, we is good. I'll sit there and hold your heart, Daddy.
Yeah.
So much of their relationship, a lot of us, you know, both men, women, you know, whatever your interest is, like, so much... we've been through that or we've been something similar to that. So, you know, there was lot, especially when it started to get really toxic for not only her, but Fitz. And it was just like, bro, I've been here so many times. I've had those same thoughts.
And I will say, like, the whole being a strong woman aspect of it, like Kerry Washington, for her, the strongness came in, like, her through her work ethic and mm-hmm. the way that she would take care of cases and, you know, protect people. Yeah.
Well, and how strong upbringing too, like,
yeah,
once they introduced her dad, a lot of that started to make sense. You're just like, bro, this is why she acts this way. Because your dad was, ugh.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that show. It's been so long since I watched it. I need to rewatch it.
I need to rewatch it just for the Fitz alone.
So, another female in entertainment. She's not in TV or film, but Meg Thee Stallion. Yeah. She's incredible. She graduated in 2021, college.
Yeah.
Got her undergrad for in health administration. While she was having like an open investigation about being shot. And she still performed, which obviously we don't. And okay, let me prefaced, but obviously we don't know like what these women are going through in their personal lives aside from, you know, obviously as much as they share with the world and us or whatever. But she was still performing. Very active on social media, showing up to award shows, looking incredibly amazing while doing it. Her body is real. Mm-hmm. There is no silicone, no injections, no enhancements. No,
that's all it.
I love that for her. From and I love
God
that.
Himself.
Made
by God.
Oh, she's a favorite. She's definitely one of God's favorites.
Oh yes.
But, you know, having that open investigation about being shot at, mm-hmm. and she had two active cases. She had that one and an active case about getting out of her record deal with the record label 1501 out of Texas. Yeah. Obviously, I've done my research and I'm up to par on all this stuff. But I don't know, like, I don't think people realize, like, even with us being women, like, obviously we know because we have to do it every day. But like. The amount of things that we have to show up in or, like, be present for and take care of and do well mm-hmm. and spend money on, like, it's insane. It's truly insane. But, like I said, this idea sparked once I saw, you know, what Meredith was going through on the show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this would be a great topic of conversation. And I want to touch on because the episode from... Was it this week or last week at this point? I can't even remember now. But I did... Oh, I think it was week before last. The Soft Life episode where I talked about how as Black women, we ignore and we're negligent to our needs and wants because we don't feel like we have worked hard enough to deserve that. But we honestly do deserve that life balance. Which I think is interesting because as you just heard me say, like how hard we work and... Okay, but as you heard, like, I just explained all the things that women as a whole have to go through, and then, like, being a Black woman, and then us feeling like we still don't even deserve, like, to be taken care of. Not even taken care of, because you see now, saying being taken care of is, like, being codependent.
Yep.
Or being reliant on someone.
Yep.
But then it's like, as I'm struggling to explain this right now, is how I feel.
Yep.
How are you feeling?
Well, exactly. And that it is a struggle because, you know, for us, especially in the industry, especially, you know, doing things that you love, like entertaining or performing, you have a fine line of, okay, you're constantly putting yourself out there as a female presence. All right. So you're there for, you know, younger generations popping up. You're also there for women that are around the same age as you, you know, you're doing all this. You're also being, you know, kind of, oh, well, this person kind of reminds me of such and such from my generation. Right. So you have so much of this pressure on you. And then on top of that, as a female wanting a partner in life, right. Not all of us want to be taken care of. Not all of us need to be taken care of. Your girl's been doing that for 30 years, baby. I don't need no... I become a pro, all right? However, just because I'm good at something doesn't mean that I have to do it by myself all the time.
That is exactly how I feel. I mean, because... And for me, in every aspect of life, it's literally the little thing. So, you know, working an hour away from home now and then on the way home and getting home saying I don't have something for dinner. It's not like, hey, can you pick up some? There's no one to pick up anything. Yeah. I have to get back in the car, go drive to a store, fight through traffic again, fight through the line of people there, check out. Like, it's the little things, but, like, having that extra, which even me saying that, like, being able, if I were to be able to have that little extra, hey, can you pick up this, like, someone to... I say this very loosely because it's just weird, but count on.
Yeah.
It would mean a lot.
Well, you and have always, that person in your corner. You have that person in your corner that you can rely on to be there when you can't do things. And that phrase in itself has always been something that has always kind of been hard for me because I don't like to be told I can't do something.
I'm not going to say I can't do anything. Yeah,
the moment you tell me, oh, Caitlin, you can't do that, watch me, right? And then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with flair, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, I didn't even know, right? So to know that, you know, there will be days in, you know, life, because we're human, where you won't be actually able to do certain things. It's good to have that person that can, you know, pick up that slack or be there and be like, you know what, don't worry, I got you, right? And vice versa. Obviously, there has to be a balance for that. But it is, as a very independent woman, it is very hard to sit there and be like, okay, I want to have someone in my life, especially with, you know, all the things I'm wanting to accomplish. At the same time, I'm not good at giving up certain amounts of control when it comes to me being an independent woman, right? And when you're with someone like that, unfortunately, you have to have some give and take, not only for you, but for them as well.
Yeah.
Right? And so it is a struggle, not only to describe, but to also find.
I just, you know, for me, it would be weird to think of not doing everything. Like, yeah, that's the other exactly. thing, too.
Because we've always done it that way.
Exactly.
We were raised to do it that way.
And I think it's interesting, like, as women, you're taught to, or you go to college, or you go to high school, you go mm-hmm. to college, and you're supposed to, very loosely, again, textbook, you're supposed to find your husband in college, get married, and he provides for the family, whatever.
Yeah.
But you're living life the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Which is, it's nothing wrong with it. I just think it's interesting. Like I said, we're taught this, or this is the way life is supposed to be.
Yep.
But it doesn't work out that way.
No, and I feel like, you know, when our parents were growing up, a lot of the foundations of our, you know, ideals, like whether it comes to relationship and stuff like that comes from our parents, right? That's how we were raised. That's how they were raised, and so on and so forth. So, you know, my parents... My dad's 55, my mom just turned 52, or 51, and it's just like, you know, for them, it was like that, right? And for their parents, it was like that, right? The husband was the one mainly making the, you know, the money, and the wife was there to take care of the kids. You know, my mom had a job when we were growing up, but, you know, it was only because, you know, she could not stay at home. She wanted to be out there, and she wanted to actually make money just because. Right. She didn't need to. My dad was definitely making enough for the both of us. But like, it was crazy because she was just like, I cannot stay at home.
Yeah.
And so that stuff became stuff. OK, well, you know, this your money is going to pay for this bill or to get these groceries, what have you. I can use my money for kids' clothes for school, or, you know, to put them in, you know, like I was put in swimming lessons and, you know, piano lessons, dance, like all these ridiculous things. My mom was able to pay for that. And so it does go back to that. And with our generation, you know, us growing up now, it's going to be completely different if and when we have kids.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that a great deal of men nowadays are sassy as hell.
Very sassy. They've like, they've went from I'm not going to show my feelings to I'm gonna show all of my feelings in a span of 5 minutes.
And I don't want to make it seem or sound like I'm saying that men shouldn't be emotional, because you 100% should be.
Yes,
there's a fine line though. Like, the amount of experiences that I've had, like being like not responding to a message and then getting gone off on. Walking into Walmart but and staying to myself, but getting called a bougie bitch because I don't acknowledge
you. Because I don't acknowledge you.
Literally, I got cussed out. But it's just like, and that's just very few. Like, those are very few examples. But men are, they're sassy and sensitive now.
Yeah.
And, but it has a lot to do with a lack of emotional intelligence.
That is true.
Because I think that, obviously, for relationships to work of any kind, male, female, just, you know, strictly platonic or a potential companion for anyone, you have to understand what it is to be emotionally sound and intelligent. And that's not to tell you that you can't feel a certain type of way or to invalidate how you're feeling, but the way that you execute how you're feeling matters a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, for the past, you know, few minutes now, we've been talking about relationships, but it's the same way when you're at work, when you're at a job, right? When you're someone who has a higher position, or, you know, in this case, you know, entertainment, you know, when you have a job, you have a character, right? You're building this character and everything. it's not just, you know, all women around you that understand you. You have the guys, you have people that have not gone through certain struggles, you know, whether it is a female, male, what have you. And you have to kind of, you have to center yourself around that, you know. And a lot of that, I feel like, especially for me, I put a lot of that struggle into a lot of the characters that, you know, I end up choosing or I end up playing because it's so real. Everybody's going to relate to it. Why? Because everybody's going through a certain struggle like that, whether you are male or female. But especially those females, they're going to, the moment you start, I feel that. I feel that because that was me 2 days ago on and, this certain, you know, topic.
And it's interesting you say that because, like, me personally working in dental, like,
yeah,
every office I've worked at has been female. The first office I worked at, the doctor was a male.
Mm-hmm.
But every other team member there was a female. And there was, mm-hmm. like, eight of us. The next one, we were all female, included the doctor. This office I'm at now, we're all female, including yeah. the doctor. So, and it's interesting, and I don't know if it's because I'm older now, but even, like, just growing up, I think it has to do with growing up with eight brothers. And I only laugh because I know what I was like back then, and that was very much tomboyish and just
I have four brothers, so
feminine
I know.
In tune at all. But, I was like, there's no way that I could be friends. I never really had female friends. Like, I just didn't, because I just vibe with guys better.
Yep.
And now it's like, I wouldn't want to work with men really mm-hmm. like that. Like, I don't desire that. And I really enjoy working with all women, because yeah. I know, like, if she's having an off day, could be PMS. If she's having an off day,
I'm not going to ask her, you PMSing? Is it your period?
And it's so interesting because it's not like, we're not, like, they're not catty. They're not drama at any office I've worked. Well, the first one was just toxic. The very first one was toxic.
That was due to one person, though.
So. And that was in the past. But it's not. Like, it's not drama-filled. It's not catty environment. It's not, you know, it's none of that. It's not gossipy. It's none of that. And I'm really thankful for that and to be working in a space where women are celebrated. And, you know, the doctor is the one doing the treatment. And because I will say, dental-wise, actual provider, like the doctor,
mm-hmm.
is typically a male, which now there's an influx in female providers, mm-hmm. and even to an extent, an influx in minority female providers, which is nice.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have a, I guess, a dominant power in this field and industry and to be able to tap into it that way. But have that balance of being a female, like being able to operate in your feminine power. So yeah.
I've always loved that for you, especially when you come home and you're so excited to tell me about like a certain procedure you helped out with or, you know, that you were able to do today. And I'm just like, the fact that this woman is getting so excited about teeth. Like, and I'm not, you know, knocking on your yum or anything like that.
No, you're good.
Because I love seeing your face, like, light up about it. It's just, it's weird for me because I don't do healthcare. Anybody who knows me, Caitlin, well, you have to physically force me to go to the doctor, the hospital, what have you, due to, you know, of course, my previous history with doctors and hospitals.
Yeah.
I don't like them. So, you know. Anytime somebody says dentist or, you know, oh, you know, white coat, oh, heck no, Caitlin's out. Scrubs, oh, they're comfy. I'll wear them bitches around the house, but nope, I'm good. You, however, it's something that you absolutely love and you get so passionate and so excited about it. And, you know, to be a female in that, you know, in that space, we've come a long way when it comes to being a female in healthcare, you know? Mm-hmm. Females used to only be nurses. Used to only be the assistants. Now we have doctors. We have, you know, people that are higher up. We got so many females mm-hmm. taking, you know, these higher, you know, titles and these higher rankings. And it's insane. Like, you know, for me being an entertainer and being a performer, I get to make my character whatever I want them to be and, you know, give them, you know, kind of certain aspects or what have you, but like theater's been this way for so long, right? Males they're not playing the female and male parts anymore. Like, it's been that way since, you know, the early mm-hmm. 1900s. But medicine, I mean, that's a very recent, you know, upgrade for females. And
yes.
a black female at that, buddy.
And just a slight plug moment, which I don't even know why, because I haven't seen her or talked to her but one time. But if y'all ever are on Instagram and or TikTok and you see I think her name is Neurospine, or no, it's on TikTok, it's Spine Lady Doc. That is Dr. Betsy Grunch. here in Georgia. I have experienced her at Northeast Georgia Hospital when I used to work there. She's really super sweet and amazing, and she has like over a million followers on Instagram, and it's insane and crazy. But she's like blowing up, and she is a neurosurgeon. And she does like these viral videos on being a female in surgery. And I love that too. But all right. So I'm going to read this part that I have from my notes. And honestly, Kate and I have been having a very organic conversation right now. So if this is any bit redundant from what was just discussed, I apologize.
We do go off on tangents.
Yes. And you guys know I'm still trying to figure out my rhythm with having guests on the show. So just bear with me. But okay. I realized that those strong women I mentioned earlier, and yes, it is TV, but it influences all enough to where we want to be, whether that is just successful or pursuing a career in healthcare, but those shows don't really show healthy ways to enjoy hard work they put in their careers. They have developed their vices or unhealthy coping ways instead of caring for themselves in a positive and healthy manner. Especially with being surgeons / doctors, you know, working in one of the most unforgiving fields, being healthcare is extremely overwhelming and pressure filled. Which I'm curious as to if that is what you can relate to being in entertainment.
All the time. Cause
I got a phone call. I don't know. So I'm not sure where it stopped recording, but I'm just going to reread the last two sentences and hopefully it'll come together. Especially with being surgeons / doctors, you know, working in the most unforgiving career field is an extremely overwhelming and pressure-filled environment. Which, Kate, I'm curious as to if that is what you can relate to being in entertainment.
And yes, I definitely can. You know, you're going into a field that a lot of people don't see as a normal career. And, you know, we are trying to make that, you know, a different kind of thought process. But, you know, my parents were the same. You know, when I told them, hey, you know what, so I know you put me in all these acting and, you know, modeling and, you know, dancing and all this, you know, just because it was supposed to be like a hobby, but I'm gonna make it my career now. And so I'm gonna completely jump into the unknown, not really know what kind of salary I'm going to be getting every year. And I'm just gonna do what I love. You know, they were definitely, they're supportive now, but, you know, that was a sense of shock of, oh, wait, you know, our child's doing what? Yeah. We didn't teach you to do that, right? And so, you know, already having that kind of, you know, negative connotation on the job, now I'm a female having to do this. And, you know, there's always a lot of kind of backlash when it comes to the entertainment industry and being a female, being a Black female in, you know, in the industry and having to deal with certain situations and certain roles. You know, we're not always casted for certain things because of our color or because of our tone or because of, you know, our upbringing, what have you. And it gets very difficult to kind of find your space. Like I said, we are, you know, entertainment has come a long way, and a lot of people in the A lot of people in the entertainment industry are starting to kind of see a change, especially when it comes to modeling. Like, you know, there are a lot of things that are being put in place now for models.
Shorter models are a thing.
Shorter models. Like, you can have skin deficiencies, mm-hmm. right? Like, growing up, I used to never think I could be a model, mainly because I was not tall enough. And girl did not like walking in heels, right? It wasn't until after college that, you know, I was told, hey, no, you're actually really good at doing this. Why don't you give this a try? And next thing you know, I'm freaking thriving at it. So it's just, you know, certain things like that are starting to change for females and, you know, body positivity mm-hmm. and, you know, not only for like models, but for, you know, actors, for artists. Like, there's so many people in just the entertainment umbrella. It is being a creative space now. It's not so much we're telling you what you have to do. So this is what we expect from you.
Which I think is interesting because as you, you know, just to reiterate what you said about like how it was before, back in the day, so to speak. Mm-hmm. In entertainment and industry, like that industry is about being creative. But there was such a cap on so much. So yes. It's like,
it was a man telling you, I'm going to have you do this. I'm going to have you do this. This is the character you're going to play. They gave you, you know, kind of a, you know, a freedom space to kind of add more of yourself to that. But it was always been that. I mean, one of my all-time favorite icons is always going to be Marilyn Monroe. All right, she's a small little town, you know, little white girl from Midwestern, you know, United States, and she wanted to be famous. Right, good old Marilyn, you know. Seriously, like, she had to go through so many the things this woman had to do.
The odds were against her.
And they were always against her. And, you know, the entertainment industry has come a long way to where, you know, it's not just males dominating it anymore. We're starting to see a kind of shift where, hey, us females, we got just as much talent, just as much good ideas. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I love Shonda Rhimes, because she's created that space, not mm-hmm. just for Black African-American, you know, actors and actresses, but for all of us females to be like, you know what? I can do that, too. I have just as great of a, you know, chance to do this as a male or as, you know, a Caucasian, you know, female or male. Like, I can do that. And I love it. It's just stuff like that that, you know, keeps me going in the industry rather than just being like, you know what, this isn't for me. I'll just be a teacher. Teach it.
I literally feel the exact same way, because that's how I feel about going to dental school. Which yeah. The more I think about it, the experience, and even just studying now. Like, I just recently started studying to take the DAT. Which mm-hmm. is the test you have to take before you can even apply to be an applicant for dental school. But that's exactly how I feel like when you said that your family was like shocked and like taken aback to hear you wanted to do it like yeah. long term, like your career.
Like, this
is
it.
That's how it was for me too, or is for me, because not that, you know, my family ever gave me any pushback or anything, but it's like when you're such a big dreamer like that.
Yep.
And you want more. Like, my family knows that I'm a very ambitious person, so I don't really know that there was a surprise there that this is something that I wanted to do. Or I think there was a surprise element, because I've always been agriculture and mm-hmm. fitness and health. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Dentistry and dental was never in the cards for any of my family for me to do that.
Yeah.
And hearing you say, like, maybe it's not for me, maybe I'll be a teacher. Dude, you don't know how many times I say to myself, I'll just be an assistant forever. I'll just be a hygienist. But I know me, and I would be very unhappy with myself. And just, I love dentistry yep. so much, so I would be okay with doing that. And I would be happy to go to work and, you know, to treat patients and care for them and be there for them. I know that it's like an itch you can't scratch. That's how bad I want more.
It's not what you were built for. I tell people all the time, I was put on this earth to entertain people. Why? Because I out of the 30 years I've been on this earth, is the one thing that has always stayed constant. People, every time they meet me, every time, you know, I have friends, family, they love my energy. They love my personality. They love that I love to entertain them.
Well, not the entertain part, but...
For me, it's entertaining. For you, it's just your energy. I mean, you just come in and make the weirdest things just exciting to hear about. Like I said, I've never, ever thought that I would be excited to hear about you being in someone's mouth
yeah.
every day. But you come home and you make it so exciting because of your love for it. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
I'm thankful for the space. I definitely am. So.
I love that you... You're a different type of person. I tell you this all the time. You're a unicorn, and you're that way because you get excited for things that you were built to do, right? And dreams, that's exactly what it is. Whether mm-hmm. you believe in the Almighty or a higher power or anything, you know, you were built to do something.
Yeah.
We have these dreams for a reason.
You know, I once posted about it. And it says, it's a Jay-Z quote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see if I can pull it up. It's about being a genius or genius level talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because hearing you say that, it resonates with me. It makes me think about this. He says, every human being has genius level talent. There are no chosen ones. God has gave everyone genius level talent. You just have to find what you're good at and tap into it.
You have to tap into it.
You do, but you have to find it. That's the, yeah. that, which is, everything is about finding, like, your person, your career, yeah. your soulmate, even if it's not your companion, like your best friend, your circle, your crew, whatever. But it's all about finding.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Gosling can give me everything. Now you gotta put in
that would be way too easy.
Yeah, he'd be like, all right, this is
you wouldn't have a story to
you for exactly.
You wouldn't have a story to tell.
You wouldn't have a story to tell. You gotta go looking.
All right, so I have a couple of questions. Actually, I have a few questions.
I love this.
And then, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll go into like a rapid fire, which is not really a rapid fire because it's me and nothing's really rapid.
I like it. Let's go.
All right, and you can make this as detailed or as not as you want, whatever you're comfortable with. What are struggles you have experienced being in entertainment?
A lot of struggles I personally have experienced in entertainment has always been that I am... My look is confusing to people because I am a light-skinned, you know, female. They never know, is she Hispanic? Is she Black? Is she mixed? I am multiracial. My mom is white. She came from Ireland. My dad is African-American. He's from good old North Carolina, right? And so, you know, being casted for certain roles, it was always hard for me to kind of... There were a lot of roles that I auditioned for. And even when I was modeling, there were a lot of, you know, auditions that I would do. I would... The giveaway was always... Well, we're just unsure as to what you would be able to do for the part, right? Based off just my appearance alone.
That light bright don't do nothing for
exactly.
You.
Well,
I'm just playing because I'm a light bright.
Yeah, but it's crazy, though, because, you know, growing up, you know, with my parents and what have you, it was never, you know, something I ever thought I was ever going to have to run into. Yeah. You know, naturally we would get the looks. I occasionally get, you know, certain people that would say something that, you know, they thought was going to, you know, get under my skin. Sorry, you're going to have to do better than that. But, you know, in the industry, especially like being told, oh, well, we're just not quite, you know, knowing what you're going to be able to do for the part based off of my look. You're not quite what we're looking for. Not that you can't give us the same emotion. Not that you can't, you know, give
same
us the same
capabilities. Yeah. Same skill set. Yeah.
You're just not what we're looking for, you know, aesthetically. And it's just like, well, how do I get out of that? How do I get out of that space? And there were a lot of times where I was just like, bro, maybe this ain't for me. And oddly enough, I was talking to one of my friends and she sent me a quote from Meryl Streep. Now, this lady is a freaking powerhouse. She has so many freaking accolades. She has so mm-hmm. many, you know, Academy Awards. And it was about her, one of her first auditions she ever did. She went out for King Kong. Mm. And she was told by the casting director that she was too ugly for the part. This lady that has well over 40.
How do people have the audacity to say things like that? That's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. And I've, you know, I've been told similar things or what have you. And it does. It takes kind of like a hit to, you know, your person.
You know, I'm all of... I'm recently still coming down from the sting of a hit. And they, you know, I shared my discrimination story, you know, my experience and all that. So I am not a stranger to having stings and hits and all that. And it's crazy because a person, it shouldn't matter what anyone looks like.
Can they do the part?
Your capability and your skill set, you physically, what you bring to the table should have nothing to do with anything ever. Yeah. I don't care if you work at Walmart, if you are in entertainment, if you're in healthcare, whatever it might be, like being a minority or not. Work ethic.
Yeah.
Representation matters to an extent, obviously, especially for younger children that are, you know, trying to figure out what they want to do and things. Because, like, I know for me, I don't see and didn't see, well, nowadays I do, but growing up, I would have never thought that it would be okay or acceptable or cool to dream as big as even being, I don't know, maybe even a teacher.
Yeah.
Like, on that level even. But representation obviously important, but skill set, work ethic, like determination, hard work, showing up, putting in the work, like all that is so important. And if you do that, it's like
What does that matter? Should be enough. What does it matter what I look like? For them to literally look at this lady and say, you're too ugly. I would love to know where this guy is right now.
Oh,
mainly
yeah.
Because
we don't know him.
I was about to say, facts. He's probably if he isn't already, you know, of age to be in a home or something like that, but he's probably working at like McDonald's or something like that. Or let me stop. Because for those of you that work at McDonald's, power to you. Your girl needs her shamrock shakes.
But you know what? For him, that would be some humble pie because you have so much to say about.
So much to say. Oh, you're too ugly for this part, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it took her a while because she said that she was on the subway going home after the audition. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, it hits your person. It hits your personality a little hard to be told that by a complete stranger, right? And so she realized, she was like, you know what? I can either sit here and let his words affect me, or I could brush that off and go out for the next, you know.
Yeah, don't let it get you down.
Literally.
Give yourself a day or two to pout.
A day or two.
To feel those emotions.
And that's why she, you know, and after hearing that, I was like, you know what? She's completely right.
Yeah.
What people say, that is only one perspective of the whole person that I am.
Exactly.
I can either sit here and let this know, you know, bother me and get me down. Or I can brush that no off. My yes is out there. My yes is out. I gotta go find it. I'm gonna keep going until I find it. And when I find that yes, guess what? My other yes is out there. You have to keep pushing.
You really do.
And once I kind of, you know, realized that, regardless of what I look like or how, you know, how they viewed me, it was all about who I was, staying true to that, not trying to, you know, give them what I think they want. No, I'm going to give you Caitlin Nicole Turner, the badass that I am. I'm going to give you all of the, you know, the skills and the talent that I have, and it's either going to resonate with you or it's not.
And it's not. And that's okay. Like, and
it's going to resonate with somebody.
It is going to with someone. And there's a few things. I was talking to someone the other day and I said, if everything worked out the way we wanted to, I think a lot of us would be in trouble. That's number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Number two.
We'd have no struggle.
Oh, no. Not being everyone's cup of tea is not a bad thing, but you have
exactly.
to get to a point in life to where accepting that and you're genuinely okay with it. It doesn't make you feel like, well, I guess I need to do a self deep dive. It's not about even you needing to review who you are as a person. It's just that the person that don't care for you or gel with you, you're not that person's personality style, and that's okay. And because I've had to tell myself like that a lot with, you know, guys that have wanted to approach pursuing me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're disappointed when they, you know,
get the full picture
after a few times of taking me out or whatever, and they expect something, and it's like,
I'm not that girl.
I'm literally not her. Like,
I'm not.
I am an anomaly, and I'm rare in my own entity.
That's why I call
I
you a unicorn.
So, you know, but no, that's 100%. You are 100% right, and. But you have to get
humbled.
Personal.
It's a very humbling experience. And I'm not saying it happened right after I read that. It took me years. Like, well after, you know, reading that and understanding that, to be like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to change myself for everyone else. I'm going to be me. That right person is going to find me. And we're going to vibe. We're going to gel. And we're going to be good. Just because this person said no, just because this person didn't like what they saw.
Yes.
That doesn't mean...
And
excuse
I think
me,
for
all the
me,
mothers are going to.
When I shared my previous experience about the poor experience I had at the dental office and being discriminated against,
excuse me.
For me, hearing you say that just now, it's like, because I was sharing with them, like, it makes you feel like after, especially like frequent back to back poor experiences, it's like,
it gets you.
It does. And it's like, is this even where I'm supposed to be? Mm-hmm. Like, is this where I'm trying to make something work that isn't working? But
I've been there, yep.
You have to get to a point. And I don't know if it's just, like, letting the, like, literally time goes on and the dust settles. Because after, like, my first week or so, for me, it was about being at that previous dental office and it not working out. And it had me feeling and thinking that, doubting my love for an obvious passion that I have.
Yeah.
It's disheartening, you know? But I think after taking those few days after the fact and just being like, okay, pick up the pieces again and strap on your boots. I can chuckle about it now looking back, which it was a very real experience. And, you know, I'm still working through that. But your yes is definitely there because the office that I'm at now, which granted we're only a weekend, but just like I had, like I was sharing that I had a gut feeling that I should have never even taken that job when I committed to that job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any bad gut feelings about this place. So either this place, either they are good about hiding this, or, you know, it's true. It's literally only time will tell. But
the yes is out there. You just have to find
it. The yes is there, and you have to find it. You have to be patient. And, you know, if you get told a couple no's, don't let that discourage you, because God wouldn't put it on you if he didn't think you could get through it. So.
Exactly. I mean, and it's like you said earlier, you know, where you were talking about, you know, if everybody got what they wanted, we'd all be in trouble. Yes, because none of us would find the struggle.
Yeah.
None of us would have that moment that, you know, kind of changed us and be like, hey, kick in the face, get your shit together, we gotta go, right? No, you know, you have to have those moments, those no's, to get you to where you need to be to have that yes.
Exactly.
So, I love that.
Well,
next question.
I'll save the funner questions for the closer to the end.
Oh, but, I'm excited.
Okay, and I know you and I frequent the conversation about being, like, strong-headed women, which has a lot to do with, you know, our similar upbringings and, parents and things. Do you ever feel like you struggle to admit when you're overwhelmed or feeling like you need a break? Or do you ever feel a sense of weakness associated with taking a break?
Always.
Yeah?
Always. It is very hard for me as a person to say, I'm not well. I need time. I will sit there and go and go and go and go and go and go and push myself until literally I'm in a hospital bed, as you well know, for me to be like, okay, maybe I should take a step back. And even then, that's hard for me to, well, I'll take a little, not, nope, Caitlin, you gotta go all the way. And it is because I'm a strong woman. It is because of the way I was raised. I am the oldest, and, you know, being in a military household, you know, upbringing, I was there for my mom all the time when my dad was out to sea on the submarine. So, you know, it was very hard for me to sit there and not be that, you know, be that person for her. Even she didn't ask me for it. It was who I was. It was what God gave me, I guess. And so, you know, that kind of has trickled down into the way I view certain things in my life when it comes to, you know, me finding somebody, me taking care of myself, or me in, you know, my career. I will go and go and go until literally my body has to put me in, you know, in a state where I physically cannot. And it shouldn't be that way. And to be honest with you, it's very unhealthy to have that, to have that mindset and to be that type of person.
It's a double-edged sword.
It is, because you want to have the drive, and you want that person that's going to give 110%. On the opposite side, though, how far is that person going to go before it's physically unwell?
Definitely people that have developed a strong discipline for working hard, being ambitious, having the drive, and just, like, being living a very structured and disciplined life, like, from... Yeah. I always say, like, from the dinner table in the gym to, you know, who you have in your life, like, your everyday routine is essential and important. Caitlin, how do you live out your soft life? As in, do you know what I mean? Okay. As in, how do you implement self-care into your daily or weekly routine? Ooh, or what does it look like for you?
I love that you just asked me this question, because you live with me, so you already know this answer. But that living my soft life is a struggle for me. It's a main struggle, only because I have to actually find time in order to do a soft life. And I know that's a cliche, and it's just like, bro, why would you say that? Like, you need to make time. You're right. I do need to make time for that. But there are certain moments where I do my soft life, though, is kind of me taking to nature. Like, I love to take Sherlock out, have him run around or whatever. Lately, it's been bathing in the sun. I don't know what it is. I keep telling myself I just need some vitamin D. I need some vitamin D and a lot of things, let me just tell you. But being out in the sun and just having it on my skin and just feeling that it's weird. I feel, and this is going to sound super crazy, but I feel like a plant that that hasn't gotten, like, no sun and like forever. Yeah. Because it kind of gives me a little boost of energy. Like, anytime I'm outside and I'm out there and I'm just sitting there, I'm calm and listening to some music, letting Sherlock run around,
whether I'm out there for an hour or like an hour and 30 minutes or what have you, the moment I get back inside, I feel energized. I feel like I can do a lot of things. I feel like I can clean, you know, clean the house or do some chores or go to the gym or something like that. Like, my mindset's completely changed.
I love that for you.
And I tend to do that quite a bit because lately your girl's been crazy.
It's been warmer for the most part. I mean, Georgia weather will be inconsistent, but I love that for you. And it's interesting, too, because I love being out in the sun, too.
Yeah.
But the sun is draining as hell. Like,
it is.
At the end of the night, but it's like the best sleep.
Oh my gosh. I swear you not. It is the best sleep. And I normally don't struggle with sleep, but to be out in the sun, I freaking love it. It's just weird. I don't know. My self-care is kind of, I guess, different. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, like, I like to take moments in, you know, really getting into, like, washing my face and stuff like that.
Skincare.
I'm not big on mani and pedis. You know this. I don't touch my feet. I just don't look at them. Don't touch them. I don't like it. And I could do a whole lot better job of taking care of my nails. I'm very hard on my hands, so like my nails aren't like horrible, but like they're
I am too.
They're not cute to look at. They're very worker hands.
I'm not gonna say that mine aren't cute to look at, but.
Yours a whole lot cuter than
I mean, right now they look atrocious, but I'm gonna get that taken care of tomorrow. But
we love that for you.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I'm honestly kind of sort of the same, especially like if I love, okay, my levels of love where I work at is it's a range. Like, yeah. I can like I can love where I work, or I could like love where I work.
Yeah.
So like right now I love where I work.
Yeah.
So I'm not to my next two levels of loving it yet.
We're trying to get
baby steps. You know, you gotta crawl before you can walk.
Facts.
But my self-care is contingent on how much I love my job, like the level amount of love that I have for my job.
Yeah.
Because if I really like love it,
you're gonna give your all in.
I'm gonna give my all, and I'm gonna literally spend as much time there as I can.
Yeah.
And now, like, I spend a lot of time there, and obviously, like, I'm still new, but, and the days are long. Like, we work like 11 and a half hour days, which is, I'm fine with, because I really enjoy being there. And like I said, I base my self-care off of that. I know I should not do that. And you would think, like, if you, like, love it, then, like, you do more self-care.
You do more, yeah.
But I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
No, wait. That is how it is for me, I think.
I mean, you do it, but once again, everybody's self-care, I think, is going to be, you know, it's going to be different.
But it should not be.
I know.
Because literally, that's what it should be a have to do this, not a need to do this.
Yeah,
you're no, right. No. It shouldn't be I have to do this. It should be I need to do this. Because how we prioritize
that's true.
Your morning routine, like brushing your face or brushing your teeth and washing your face, is going to be like that's what we all have to do.
I mean, guys have to brush their face. So
oh my gosh. I mean, I do have a face brush, so I do kind of brush my face.
I love it. I have a face roller. Does that count?
Yes.
gotta roll my crow's feet away.
I will say, for me personally, I'm not so quick to do things for myself because of my upbringing. Yeah. And
it's just not the way that
the way that I was brought up, it was instilled so much into us that leave me now, like, looking at where I am in life and being 26.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that taking care of myself should be a necessity.
I agree.
Because literally, like, thinking about, like, working out, eating healthy and meal prepping, because I very rarely eat out,
mm-hmm.
is priority and essential to me, because we literally have one body. We have one body and one life. That's it. And our bodies being a temple is a very real thing.
Yeah.
So being cognizant and, you know, mindful of what I put into my body, I'm strategic with that. Like, my best friend, Allie, she'll be here, you know, shortly, any minute or whatever. And she's like, you need to find us a restaurant to eat at, because I know you are, like, very restrictive with what you eat.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the area, and I'm like, all these places is very Atlanta. Like, the wings, the deep fried, the soul food, the Mexican, like, which is great and fine. But I don't eat
that,
like, 90% of things that's in a grocery store to begin with. So I'm like, I'm probably just going to eat a big meal at home, because I have some stuff prepped before I go and spend the day with you. But I have that much intent and direction and strategy associated with what I put in my body, because it's with me every single day, and it's so important to me, because I have one body and it's what does everything for me. So me thinking on that imperative level, that's how I need to be about my self-care, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and I do need to get better. But I think for me, a lot of it has to do with the inconsistencies I've been experiencing with my life since literally the beginning of 2023. Yeah. So I'm still, you know, figuring some things out. I'm going to need you to do the same thing.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Baby steps.
You don't even need baby steps. You need, like, two...
I need the original steps.
You need the terrible two steps. Like... okay.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
So...
terrible two steps.
Yes. Because you need them... You need them big baby steps.
I do.
All right. Rapid fire / overrated segment. Oh. So I'm going to ask you some questions and just, like... Again, like, you can take it as deep as you want or not. And I might pick your brain a little bit more. I don't know. Okay, and it's geared towards your being a performer. Ooh, in the entertainment industry.
Love this. Let's go.
Okay, being an extra, yay or nay?
Oh, absolutely yay. Absolutely yay. Being an extra gives you insight that acting classes, being, you know, being a newly actor, actress doesn't give you. Mm-hmm. You get to find out, like, where the lights are going to be, what certain call signs they're going to say to you. Like, all this, you get to see... so much behind the scenes before the main lead comes on, or whoever that actor or actress is. I mean, it's insane. I started off in theater, and so there were a lot of jargon that kind of was a little different. To be a stand-in in theater means, okay, you're going to be on the side. If something happens to this person, you're their stand-in for that night, right?
Is that like the understudy?
Kind of like an understudy, exactly. For actual TV and movies, there's always a stand-in. Why? Because they need to put the light somewhere. They need to make sure the camera's in the right spot. That person is going to until the... It's super crazy. You learn all this just being an extra. I tell my students all the time when we do acting classes and stuff, if you have a chance to be an extra, a lot of times, especially back in the day, being an extra was kind of like being, you know, a teacher, right? So you're like, you can't do it, but you can teach it. So being an extra means, okay, well, you can't be a lead, but you know what? You can be in the background, so you can play pretend. No. That gives you the experience. That gives you the, you know, the...
So you have an upper hand.
It does. It gives you a lot of the teachings that you're going to need, excuse me, that you don't necessarily get from a textbook or from an acting class.
Yeah, because some things cannot be taught.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like walking into a completely new experience, and you're just like... what? And it also shapes your view on the production as it is. I've done a few extra stuff when I was first starting out, and now it never fails. Anytime I watch any TV show, movie, hell, just a music video, I'm constantly always paying attention to the background. Oh my goodness,
me. I literally...
Because so many things happen behind the scenes and behind these people. And you can see people.
Something. You know I love to rewatch the same stuff.
I know over, you do.
Like, literally to the day I die. But you see so much that you didn't see that you didn't 40 see before. Times you watch.
Exactly. It's so insane. So yes, no, being an extra, a complete yay. If you're looking at being in the entertainment industry, go. There's so many.
Putting y'all up on game, telling y'all what y'all
so
need to do.
So many opportunities. Jump on it.
All right. On-screen love scenes, yay or nay?
Ooh, super awkward, but definitely a yay.
Okay.
Only because it for me especially, it puts me in a uncomfortable position. And you know me, I like to play with fire a little bit and put myself in positions and opportunities that I'm a little outside of the box with, just to see if I can do it. And love scenes are definitely like that because they're very awkward. It's not as flowy as, you know, normal love scenes in the bedroom. No. You're take by take with a freaking 20 people watching you right now. And you're just like, okay. All right. So now I'm going to start right here. All right. And action. You also, in certain parts, have extras around you. They just have to be there. All right. For whatever the scene is. So it's a very odd and weird situation. If that's something that you personally don't like, yeah, it's probably a no-go. But for me, I'm wholeheartedly a yay.
That'd probably be a no for me, dog.
But yeah, hey, that would definitely be a no for
having
you.
Having a driver, yay or nay?
Having a driver? Oh, no.
No?
Definitely nay. I like to drive.
Oh, yeah, you do like driving. Hair and makeup team or doing it your own? So hair and makeup, yay or nay?
Ooh. So I've learned with myself that it's a yay. It's a yay for me only because your girl doesn't do makeup and I have no clue as to what the fuck I'm doing with half of that. So I would need someone there to help me out before I look like a clown on TV.
Auditioning often and frequently, yay or nay, or... Ooh. Actually, this really isn't... I don't even know why I say it like this. Okay, I'm gonna give you three options.
Okay. Auditioning often.
Okay, so basically it's one or the other. So the first is auditioning often or a few times throughout the month. So like every week, Wednesday booking an audition, or just like once every other week or something.
So
how would you prefer? Or
I personally would prefer doing the first one, auditioning often. And the reason why I say this is, one, it's practice. Two, you get your name out there. You get to use that time to network, not only with casting directors, but with other actors and actresses out there.
Right.
And three, it legit gets your name out there. Like, you're constantly being done this. Depending on where you are, like here in Atlanta, there are a few casting directors that do all these auditions. So you're going to see this person constantly, right? And if you're not good for one part, they might see, you know, some potential for another part. Guess what? Now they're doing... you know, a casting call for this particular part, they're going to see you and be like, you know what, I remember you from this. You'd be perfect for this, right? And so you get to do that. On the flip side, though, for me especially, you know, being an actor, being a performer in this industry, in this space, it's a lot of discipline. So for like me, I work a second job so that way I can support myself while doing my dream. You can't audition... excuse me, you can't, thank you, you can't audition often when you're doing that. So it really just depends. If you have the capacity to audition often, excuse me, do it. If you can't, you have to make sure you're disciplined enough to, when you have that opportunity, oh my goodness,
is there pepper in the air?
I was about to say, I feel like it, somebody's trying to kill me. When you have,
I apologize for Caitlin's medical mishap just now. we had to regroup.
I'm dying. I don't know what it is. It's springtime, you girls.
It is. Oh, spring is springing.
I did leave, you know, a little message. You know, some medical issues. It's always been in my past.
Yeah.
Y'all are seeing it.
Spring is springing.
Spring is springing the hell out of me.
All right. Trailer must-haves. What would those be for you? Are you a diva?
I'm the opposite of a diva. My trailer must-haves are snacks, pretzels in general, mainly because long nights and days and hours on set, you don't always get to eat. Not to mention, don't get me wrong, I love, depending on, I've been on a lot of productions where the food is out there, like it's so freaking good. And then I've been on some productions where that's just and you're just like, I'm not touching that. So definitely need snacks, pretzels mainly. Only because I just freaking love pretzels. Outside of that, I like to have must-haves for me. Pictures of people that I really care about. Only because when you are on productions, you are going to spend a lot of time away from them. Obviously, you can always FaceTime when we have that. But, you know, you might only have like 5 minutes. You know what? I like to be surrounded by people that I love that are supporting me. So pictures of them. Sherlock will always ever forever be with me, even when we're not gonna talk about that. He's gonna live forever. So Sherlock's gonna be there with his trusty Watson. And water. I have to have water. Gotta stay hydrated. Yeah, other than that, I mean if you want to put some air conditioner in there, I probably won't be in there that long, so it doesn't really matter. That's true. You know, air conditioner, we got it. You want to put a little couch in there, your girl will wholeheartedly sit on a floor, yeah, to be honest with you. So I'm very minimalistic. I just need the few things that are gonna boost my spirit to get past that 24 hour being on set.
Yeah, I can understand that. So lastly, ooh, to bring it home,
I'm so excited.
I don't know if you're excited.
Oh, I'm scared. I'm so scared. I've gone through so many emotions. Oh, I do this to my students. I do rapid fire emotions. Now I'm getting it.
Okay, I'm gonna challenge you.
Oh shit.
I am going to challenge. This is my challenge for you.
Gotcha. I'm scared.
Is to live out what you are about to answer this question. That is my challenge for you to execute it.
Oh, man. So that you live with me, too.
Exactly. I got tabs on you. What are you going to do or implement differently for this entertainment? I should have reworded that now that I know you refer to it as performing. But mm-hmm. let me reword it.
You good.
What are you going to do or implement differently for this performance career for yourself moving forward? Like, whether that is auditions, creating content, a schedule, weekly, what?
All of that, actually. I need to, now that I've moved back to Georgia, mainly Atlanta area, it's the perfect place for my career. And there's so many outlets here.
Literally, Tyler Perry Studios.
I know, and I freaking love Tyler Perry. I need to, one, create a schedule. I tell this to my students all the time, and I've been very bad at it, mainly because I'm just trying to get established here in this space. But I need to create a schedule, so not only am I putting content out there, and content can vary between me actually being on set, me doing, how-tos for people that are looking into being in the industry, me just showing my natural life, like, this is what Caitlin's doing today, and the life of Caitlin, putting that content out there. I need to schedule that, but also scheduling time for me to actually work on my craft, to, do auditions, to send in self-tapes. Self-tapes are really big right now. I said at the very beginning, a lot of things have changed, via COVID, post-COVID. It's easier for me to send in a self-tape because that, casting director doesn't have to worry about, has she been vaccinated? Has she gotten her boosters? Are we good? Unfortunately, COVID, we haven't really talked about it, but it's still there. People are still getting it. People are still having to deal with it. And in the industry, that's time and money for us. So we have to make sure that we are taking care of that. So, yes, I just need to get better at doing more. I've been doing the bare minimum. And it's been okay, but I need to do more. Like I said, the more you put yourself out there, the more you learn, the more you exercise, the more you get to network.
Exactly.
And this is the perfect place for that. So,
and I will say for me, like, hearing you say that, like, just networking, getting out there more, that's how it's been for me, like, doing all these interviews that I've been doing for jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's been so exhausting, but I've made those connections now. So they know what I'm capable of and whatnot, but exactly. I love that for you. And I am 100% going to hold you accountable.
I know.
I know,
why I love you.
One last simple question. What are you listening to right now, music-wise?
Ooh, what am I listening to music-wise? So right now, I've been really big on Adele, It's Your Fault. Because I say It's Your Fault only because I was in, I don't even know what kind of funk I was in, and I completely forgot that she released her album, so mm-hmm. I've been listening to that. One of the main songs on there, actually there's two that I've been like wholeheartedly like listening to on the day when I'm going to work, when I'm exercising, what have you, is To Be Loved. Freaking love it. It's like 6 minutes long, and okay. it is my favorite.
Oh, yes, I love that one.
And then The Woman, yes. Was it? Oh, crap. It's
a Woman Like Me.
Woman Like Me, that's what it is. Freaking love. That is all time my powerhouse song right there.
I love that one. I love both
you
of those.
You wish you had a woman like me, sir.
There's
you
another
wish
one on that album that I really enjoy, too.
She just, I freaking love her range, and she's so raw.
Can I get it right now?
Yes! I love that one. Yeah. Oh,
she's,
yeah,
spicy. She's spicy. She's
very spicy. She goes from, wanting to show her love for you to being like, bitch, I don't need you.
Yeah.
You wish you had somebody like me.
She has a balance. She's a great balance.
She's one of my favorites. But yeah, that is the music I am listening to right now.
I'm currently on Miley Cyrus's latest album, and the songs off of that is definitely Jaded. Obviously Flowers, because
everybody has, yeah, I was supposed to say Flowers is
different. And for my Spotify,